Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise. And Lord, we also thank You for that touch. We're thankful that You've made it possible that we can touch You. Thank You that You're willing to touch us and You will make us whole. That's right. Let's praise Him and focus on His power. He can do a complete job. He can make us completely whole. He can give us a total and a whole and complete answer. Oh, yes, You can, Lord. Yes, You can. Yes, You can. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I personally am so thankful to be a part of a body of Christ that allows for the flow of the Spirit of God, and where we appreciate and we allow for God to move among us. And that's exactly what we need. We must have the Spirit of God. We can't do it without His Spirit. Our singing, our ministry, everything we are and everything we do. And we are very blessed to have the Lord God Almighty. If you're thankful for His presence in your life, would you give Him another praise right now, Lord? I'm thanking You for Your Spirit. Thank You for the personal experience of Your Spirit. Thank You for the gift of the Holy Ghost and everything that Your Spirit does and leading and guiding us. Thank You, O Lord. Thank You, Jesus. And we're continuing our study of the legacy of our apostolic heritage and following our legacy. If you do need a lesson sheet, if you'll lift your hand and perhaps someone can bring a lesson sheet to you. Okay. Calling all ushers. All right. We'll try to get that to you in just a moment if you need one. Thank You for Your faithfulness to the house of the Lord, and He is good to us. I put at the top of our lesson sheet this statement made by C.S. Lewis. Since it is so likely children will meet cruel enemies, let them at least have heard of brave knights and heroic courage. And that's what we have been doing in this series of lessons about our history and the historical figures. You know, the reason that we know about American heritage and history is because in grade school and high school and even beyond that, we're taught about men and women, men like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. We did not live in their era, but we're able to live in this era because of them and because of what they left for us. What is true in natural history and heritage is also true in spiritual heritage and history. In order to maintain and to keep appreciation for our history and legacy, we should know about it and we must teach about it. Now, each generation that comes on the scene, and if you do need a lesson sheet, just lift your hand and ushers will make sure we've got a hand over here, all right, and we'll get that to you. Thank you. Every generation that comes on the scene, we become further removed from our past and our beginnings, and so memory can grow fainter, names mean less, and even convictions and commitments get lost in the fog of the past. So that's some of the reasons that it's good from time to time to stop and take the time, as we are doing, to remember the past, the events, the victories, the struggles, the heroes, the leaders. And also, as a purpose of these lessons, and I want to say I appreciate Brother Reaver arranges for our Wednesday night series for the most part. And in preparing for these, we were asked to not only talk about the points and the events and the persons themselves, but to lift life references and life's lessons that can be gained by their example and by our following their example. And so we're going to try to lift some life's lessons, and the others that have taught before me have. David, looking back, passed over his shoulder, He said in Psalm 16, 5 and 6, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a goodly heritage." He was talking about both natural inheritance of land and possession of the Canaan land, which meant much to that people, but he was also talking about his spiritual heritage, the heritage of the Jewish people. Moses, in one of his final addresses to Israel, talked about the importance of the past. "Remember the days of old, considering the years of many generations." He said, "Ask your father, and he will show you. Ask the elders, and they will tell you about those days of old." The writer of Hebrews talks about remembering those that have the rule over you, who have led you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their life or the end of their conversation. And so he's talking about how their life played out and the values that they stood for and how their life followed those values. And then Moses, in another place, reminded the people of God of their heritage and encouraged them not to forget. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, he said, "When the Lord brings you into the land which he swore unto your fathers." In verse 11, he said, "And houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees which you planted not. When you have eaten and you are full," verse 12, "then beware, be cautious, lest thou forget the Lord." There seems to be a warning about not forgetting, and that points us in the positive to remembering the Lord and a heritage that we have. So with those truths in mind, an effort to follow the legacy of Christ, we're going to trace the life of our founding pastor, Brother Harry W. Branding. I've had a wonderful time, again, recounting the history and going back into the history of his life and this church. And just mentioning some of his life story will not only remind us of the incidents, but will stir up and trigger other memories that cannot be mentioned tonight due to lack of time. His father's family came to the United States from Germany. So his father was born in the country of Germany, and they moved, that family did, to Illinois near Granite City, Namioke, Illinois in particular. The family had a farm, and the Branding worked on that farm. His family were very faithful members of the Lutheran Church, his mother and father. He came from a family of 14 children, so he had 13 siblings. And he was born May 23rd, 1891, 128 years ago tomorrow. And tomorrow we honor the memory of our founding pastor. Brother Branding recounted, and I heard him tell this personally, and it's recounted in some of the books. By the way, there is a book called Profiles of Pentecostal Preachers. This was compiled by our Word of Fame Press, and Brother Branding's story is in this book in fuller detail than we'll be able to give tonight. But I heard Brother Branding tell the story that as he was walking across the farm one day, his father was beside him, and he laid his hand on his arm and said, "Harry, will you be my preacher boy someday?" That, and the father even offered to send him to seminary. Something was stirring in that dad's heart, and I believe it was a prophetic stirring. Maybe his dad didn't know, and Brother Branding may not have realized at the time. And that question stayed on Brother Branding's mind. One of the life lessons from this incident is we should not discount any early indications in our life, early comments, early incidents of God's call and his spirit on our life. And I pray tonight that some of us would even reflect back. In fact, I have, as I had the privilege of studying and preparing for tonight, reflect back on maybe some what might seem like minor incidents, but they were more major perhaps than we would. That little hold on the arm and that little question, Harry, will you be my preacher boy? That did not leave him, and as I said, he told that all through his life and through his ministry. All of us have those. Personally, I recall in a teen Sunday school class, and we were to come in and meet with the teachers prior to a class. We were talking about missions and commitment to God. And I remember going in and meeting with Paul and Kay Schobert in before class, that teen class, which we were attending at that time. And I remember sitting there talking to them, and tears began to stream from my face. And what I didn't realize then, I was feeling and sensing the call of God on my life. I remember one of our Elder Ewell O'Neill coming alongside. I remember one incident of him just standing by me on the left side of the altar, the platform area, laying his hand upon me and praying with and over me. And many other things. One incident that particularly involves Brother Branding, I traveled down with him. They made a call for camp cleanup in the weeks prior to youth camps. And so, of course, it was settled by the Maurice River, and there was usually flooding every spring, and so that meant cleanup every spring. And if it didn't flood, you still had to clean up because it had sat there through the winter, the fall and the winter and the early months of spring. But we were traveling down there, and the trip down there was interesting in and of itself. Brother Branding was elderly at that time, probably 70-plus, and we were on the two-lane Highway 50, and I don't know what the speed limit was, but we were not going the speed limit, and we were not going under the speed limit. And he saw one sign that said, men working, and we went a little while, and he didn't see any. He said, oh, there's no men working, and sure enough, we rounded a bend, and there were men working. But that one of those days working down there at the campground, I set up a big, tall wooden ladder against what was the dining hall. And for some reason, we needed to get up there. And being young as I was, 14, 15 years old, I thought I could be the guy. And so I set that ladder up there, could barely get it up, by the way, set it up there, but I set it too straight with not enough lean. So I started ambitiously climbing that ladder, and Brother Branding happened to come along at that time. And as I climbed, it began to tilt back. And I went back on that ground, and I can still to this day see that ladder coming toward me. And the bishop was right there, and he just reached out with one hand and held that big old wooden ladder. Thank you, Brother Branding, for protecting me in more ways than preaching the truth. And I don't know, that may be one of those little incidents. That pastor didn't know he was saving the life of what would become the future pastor. But thankful for the protection of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord. And he protected us all in many ways beyond all of that. And so many great things about this man. He married in 1916 to a lady by the name of Georgia Schenck. They had two daughters, Dorothy Marie and Betty, and then they had children. He had three grandchildren of whom he was very proud. Mary, Christopher, whose name was also Luke, and he liked to refer to him as Luke because that was in the Bible, and Kathy. I might say that Luke did come to some kind of an experience with God at a time, and came to the church for a season of time, and God worked in his life. And I don't know what became of Luke. He did not further his experience, at least there with us at APC at the old building. Here's some life lessons from Brother Branding's family. Of course, his family, his wife, Georgia, was of the Roman Catholic persuasion. His daughters followed in that persuasion, Dorothy Marie and Betty, which were both school teachers, by the way, which was one of the reasons for his great interest in education. He loved his family despite their spiritual differences. They loved and they respected him as well. And Mrs. Branding, for a time, attended the church. Even though she did not claim the apostolic faith, for a time she attended the church. By the time Our family began attending in the mid-60s. Mrs. Branning wasn't attending at that point in time. But Mrs. Branning and Brother Branning himself, in the midst of some very stark religious differences, both of them displayed a commitment to marriage. Neither one of them used that to drive a wedge between one another or use that as a reason to stop or do away with their marriage. She displayed a commitment to marriage. We should honor her for her respect for her husband. She had a great respect for her husband. She had a respect for his call to the ministry. I imagine they had various conversations. I was not in on those, and most would not have been. So I would imagine there were some conversations, but it never reached a point where she hindered to the point of him needing to stop and change his ministry. She had a respect for her husband, for the call of ministry, and for God himself. Brother Branding displayed a great amount and level and extreme faithfulness and dedication, despite the fact that no other family members were serving God. And I know that there are some in our own church family that have these same situations and these same conditions in your life. I think we can learn from Brother Branding. He loved God. He loved his family. But when choices of values and faithfulness were forced between the two, God, family, or any other thing, business, recreation, anything else, God was and is the right choice. When he was faithful to church services and other duties of the kingdom of God, his family respected him enough and respected God enough not to schedule family events during that time. And if events were scheduled, and he followed his God-given biblical values of faithfulness and kingdom-first faithfulness, he was faithful to church and to the things of ministry and God. When he did that, he was not only pleasing, and the same is true for us. This is one of those life lessons we can apply to our lives. When we are faithful to values and principles, especially if they are being opposed by whatever it is, a person, a schedule, whatever it is, we are not only pleasing God, but he was and we are saying to our family, these are values and principles and practices that are important now and will have an eternal impact. There is a tendency, and we do battle this. It's just a reality of life. There is a tendency to say, we believe God first. We believe the kingdom first. We believe that we should be faithful. But then it's very possible to say something else when we change or violate or compromise those values of faithfulness to accommodate someone or something else that conflicts with a schedule of faithfulness. And there are various responses and sometimes arguments. Well, they won't understand. Here's what I have found. Many times people will understand and they will respect a call to values of faithfulness. And when they do not, it is because they currently hold a variant value system that does not align with not just yours, but it does not align with biblical values. And we do a disservice not only to God, to ourselves, but to them, not to hold true to values of faithfulness and principles of holiness or whatever area that it might be. Thank you, Pastor Branding, for showing us how to please the Lord and for exampling for us in this important and sensitive area of life and family. After his marriage, back in the early years of his marriage and early years of his life, in the 1920s, Times were very hard, and you know the economic depression that came upon our country. First of all, he worked as a grocer, then he sold machinery, but times were very hard. He worked very diligently, but still the family was suffering financially. He went into real estate, and he went through that real estate business to Tampa, Florida for a trip that looked like a very promising deal, transaction that could take place. But that transaction did not take place, and this is verified by Brother Branning's own testimony and in some of his writings. He found himself, he was broke financially. He was alone down there in Tampa, away from his Florida, and that was before the days of all the communication we can have there. So when you were at a distance, you were definitely at a distance and separated. He got despondent, he says, and he was very far away from his family and from his home area here in the St. Louis metro area. But the important thing that he recalls later on is God had not forgotten him. God's hand was in all of this. You see, we never know how God is using life circumstances. And maybe you are in the midst of one tonight, and if you're not tonight, there probably will be sometime. Well, not probably, it's not if you will, but when you do, you can rest assured God has not forgotten about us. And he can be involved and use any of life's circumstance. God loves you. God values your life and your purpose. And he will attempt to fulfill that purpose through various life circumstances, even those that are hard and difficult at the time. I don't know that it would be completely accurate. In fact, in many cases, you could not say God caused that. A person's decisions bring those things about, both good and bad. But God can work in the midst and use both of those, good and bad, to help us. To help. God has a purpose for every one of us. And he will help us to fulfill that purpose because he's bigger than circumstances. He's bigger than what finances say. He's greater than what economic conditions say. He's greater than what people do or say. He is very concerned about us fulfilling our life purpose. So I just want to encourage you tonight, especially if you are in the midst of some kind of challenging situation. God is in the midst of that trial or that furnace with you. And he's going to use that as you allow him to work out his perfect plan and his perfect will in your life. Here's what happened down in Tampa. There was a noted Baptist evangelist by the name of George Truett who was preaching in Tampa. Brother Branding attended one of those services. In that service, conviction swept over him. He says he goes forward to the altar. He was sobbing and praying. And that prayer helped, but still his heart was burdened. And he tells about returning back to the room where he was staying. He got down by the side of the bed. He was desperate. He was desperate. He prayed through in old-fashioned repentance. That bad circumstance brought about the good fruit of repentance. And Paul said, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Aren't you thankful the goodness of God led you to an experience of repentance one day? He prayed into repentance and he poured out his heart before the Lord. And God spoke to him during that prayer, he said. Told him that he would see him safely home. And in just a few days, when it didn't look like it was going to be possible for him to return home in a short amount of time at all, God provided a way and he was able to return home to his family. That experience down there in Tampa, Florida, Brother Branding pointed to as another turning point in his life. Here's what we learn from that. God can use various people and experiences to set up our destiny. In this case, it was a Baptist church and a Baptist evangelist. We should not discount any genuine God-based incident. God-fearing person anyone who is sincere with a faith and a commitment to God. God used that man to preach a message to draw Pastor Harry Branding to an altar that night and a bedside of repentance. And oh, thank God for that beginning of his spiritual encounter with him. That financial difficulty, God used it. God didn't cause it, but God used it to set up his personal destiny. I wonder tonight, what incidents in our life is God going to use, and is he using right now to set up your destiny? I just know that we can't look at our trials. We've got to be real about them. We suffer in them. They cause us difficulty, but they are not meant to defeat you, because greater is he that is in you. And we are overcomers. And so whatever that you are going through, God is able to use that to set up your destiny. Don't try to run from it. Run to God in the midst of it. We don't enjoy tests. We don't enjoy trials. We don't enjoy those things. But in the midst of it all, we hold God's hand and we trust in him. He was able to return home, and as he did, he started visiting various churches. The God encounter had struck a spark in Harry Branding's life. He knew he was seeking for something, but he wasn't quite sure what it was. And one night, he and a friend wandered into a Pentecostal church. Evidently, this was one of the first instances of his with Pentecost. There were people, a group of people, I don't know where this was, he didn't say, but they were there clapping their hands and they were shouting and they heard them speaking in tongues. And he recounted, he said to his friend, "I don't want to get mixed up with that bunch." And he ended up being one of the biggest ones in the midst of the bunch. He said that, but he found himself, he writes, being drawn back time after time after time. And eventually he began attending services at the church where Brother B.H. Height pastored at 3105 Cass Avenue. There was a preacher by the name of Cleve Curley who was preaching a revival at that time. And in those services, Brother Branding was brought into another great experience. He recounts, here's what happened. Preachers would be preaching, Brother Curley and others would be preaching, and they would give scriptures on being baptized in Jesus' name, our one God, to Brother Branding to read. And after he would read them, the preacher would turn and say, "Is that really what that says?" In other words, they were wanting Brother Branding to get it and understand it. And get it, he did. And soon afterwards, he was baptized in Jesus' name and did receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And in time, he did become the assistant pastor at that church to Brother B.H. Height. In 1935, there was a mission hall at 11th and Hickory that needed a pastor. That group of saints had begun meeting earlier, and there's a little book out there, a little record book, that has the date of, the earliest date that's in the book is February, I believe it's February 17th, 1934. So this group had been meeting, and I don't know if they were formally organized as a church or not, but they had been meeting together for at least that long and maybe a little bit longer. Brother Branding preached there on various occasions, and eventually the church felt like they wanted to have him for their pastor. One of the members put a fleece before the Lord. Brother Branding also put a fleece before the Lord, and both of those fleeces were answered, the church members and Brother Branding's. And so on April the 13th, 1935, Brother Branding became the pastor of that church. It was at that time named Jesus' Name Tabernacle. I might say in later years, and somewhere in the 90s, we were trying to get some of our property deeds squared away, and I went to the city to try to look up the plot of ground there, and instead of Apostolic Pentecostal Church, the name Jesus' Name Tabernacle was still on that little document of ours, and so we needed to get a change. So there was a little bit of slowness in the city of taking care of records. I'll leave it at that. And here's what Brother Branning, he recorded, and this is just a copy, so I was able to mark on it. But on old church letterhead and in his writing, here's how he recounted that. It was April 13th, 1935, when we were definitely convinced that Jesus had called us to be pastor of the mission at 11th and Hickory. After Arvo Pratt, and by the way, that's Brother Skip Pratt's grandfather, had called us several days before we told him and gave them an affirmative answer of yes. So Brother Brandy became the pastor, and it's written, Sister Gladys Plank, Sister Linda Clark's grandmother, wrote some of this history, and she was a part of some of that some of those early groups that people would come from far and near, is the way she put it, to hear this tall, blonde real estate agent preach the gospel and the word of the Lord. He preached with enthusiasm, she said, and mainly with the anointing of God. The news traveled fast about this new preacher that had come to 11th and Hickory. From that time, during the next year, probably the next 15 months for sure, our year and 5 months, the church grew, filled the little mission hall at 11th and Hickory until there was no more room. And Brother Branding began to pray and fast, and he was seeking God for a larger building. One night, he had a dream. He dreamed he was fishing, pulled out a large fish, but what was unique about it was already cooked and baked and prepared when he pulled it out in the dream. He asked the Lord about the dream. That dream stayed with him, and he couldn't leave that. He asked the Lord about that dream, and the Lord spoke back to him and said, "I have a building all prepared for you." And so it was then that the congregation agreed to buy what was then the Bethlehem Congregational Church at 13th and Gravois. Pause for the life lesson. God still speaks to us through His Spirit. It might be a dream, or it might be a preached message, or a taught lesson, or a song, the voice of the Spirit, however, our godly counsel, however it is, we just want to be sensitive to hear the voice of God. Thankfully, Brother Branding was very sensitive to hear the voice of God, and by the way, that corner became a corner of destiny. Just last, I guess it was 2 weeks ago now, somebody asked me about the move here and what did it take to change the name of your church from 13th and Gravois to Apostolic Pentecostal Church. Well, I gave them the answer that's always very easy to give. I said, really, back since about 1936 or 38, that was our name, Apostolic Pentecostal Church. We were just known all over Pentecost and all over the city as 13th and Gravois, and people still, when we talk to them, and some of us even still slip up, and I don't know that it's not a bad slip up at all. But that corner became a corner of renown. Brother Green used to say, "I'm the only pastor that pastors a corner," 13th and Gravois. That same thing happened when Brother Black went to Kansas City. It was known as 40th and Harrison. So it was running in the apostolic genes, I guess. God still speaks. I'm just pausing long enough to let you know. God will speak to you. Audible voice, maybe? Likely not. But he can speak. If we're sensitive, he can speak through a song, through the words of a friend, through godly counsel, through a word from God in the teaching or preaching, he still speaks. So on September 15th, 1936, they made the purchase. Here's from some of those same notes of Brother Branding. September 15th, 1936, we purchased 13th and Gravois. And I'd either forgotten about some of this or had overlooked it. We purchased and moved in a month later. So they moved in October. Smoke and all. Ashes, junk, etc. And then he writes here, explain. And only he could explain all of that because none of us were there. So evidently the church had had a fire, and there was a fire sale, I guess, of sorts, and they were able to purchase that church and refurbish and rehab and do what was necessary. As pastor, I can't help but wonder
what kind of responses may have come when it was announced we're going to purchase a burned out building. I'm not going to try that unless the Lord gives me a dream of catching a fish that's all baked and prepared. Our first meeting was on the lot. And all he has here is tomatoes and sweet potatoes, but I did hear various, I heard him tell about people driving by or walking by and tossing tomatoes and potatoes at them and making fun and mocking the worship that was going on outside the building. So the name was changed to Apostolic Pentecostal Church, so the prepared fish was landed. Brother Branding tells about how he feared coming into that different building that people would not worship God as they had in that little mission. I identify with that. He did not want anything to come between them and God or to hinder the worship. Not long after they moved in, they were worshiping and praising God, and this is where the wonderful incident that is a tremendous testimony of the presence of God coming down in a very miraculous way. The glory of the Lord filled that house. And Brother Branding writes and says, there was a blue smoke-like haze that appeared as all of the people were on their knees praying and worshiping God. It was almost like reading the account of the dedication of Solomon's temple. God was showing himself to not be bound by a certain location, and he is not. It's just the reality when you change locations. We went through it when we moved to Barracks View. When you change locations, it feels different. It is different, but it's the same God. I guess another life lesson, well, I know another life lesson would be anywhere you are, God is right there, and God can be there. And he was, and he's shown himself in a great way with the visible presence, a visible presence coming down, so that it was an indicator, maybe more for Pastor Branding than anybody else, that God was definitely upon them. Due to growth and other needs, the old building was taken down. New building was erected on that same side in 1958. And while they were doing that, they also had services outside on the same location. And when you would walk through that building, and probably could still today, you could see where the old foundation was of the previous building. And there's a couple of other slides, I think, of the church parking lot there, what it looked like, and then also the inside of that building. And some of you know about that. Others of you that have been with us since we've been here may not have been there. Going by that, that is now the offices for a uniform factory. Previously, it was for the sale of furniture and antiques and other things. That Australian owner who bought that building would tell it whenever we would go by and visit, he said, I have folks come through here consistently. And they talk about this is where they went to church. And they even took him to certain locations where certain things happened. And it looked quite different, but there was just something special about it. And, of course, there many great things happened there. Brother Branding was a man of great faith, and he was a true pastor. Sister Plank wrote about that in his district business. Many times he would have to travel. So he would go to larger bakeries and buy up the leftover bread and sell it to the church, two loaves for a nickel. Wow. Two loaves of bread for a nickel. Good deal, huh? The bread was sold at the back of the church at a weeknight service. And I think it was Sister Plank, and probably Brother Branding verified this. This was the best attended service during the week, she wrote. Imagine that. Humanity has not changed. But he had a deep commitment to apostolic fundamentals, prayer and fasting. And whenever I read about this again and hear about it, I personally am convicted. There was one time when he felt directly and definitely led of the Lord to go on a 7-day fast. He knew he needed to be alone with God, and so he brought a cot to the church. That was before we had office furniture, brought a cot to the church, and for 7 days and nights spent that time fasting and in prayer and alone with the Lord. That was not for show or reputation, and he would probably not like all the recounting of that, only to say he was committed to God. God is still calling for this kind of commitment to his will and to his purpose. He lived out Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. You know, it's one thing to believe in the crucifixion. It's another thing to be crucified with him. The former is not wrong, but it's not enough just to believe in the crucifixion. But he said a true disciple will carry the cross and be crucified, meaning our will and our plans and our agenda are second or on down the list behind his. You know, if you read and listen to what many modern day ministers preach and teach, we get a much different understanding of what it means to follow him than when you read the words of Jesus. The call has been diluted. We're afraid to accept and to expect on many fronts the things Jesus expected and still expects. What he said is the call to follow was a call to die. And it's easier to teach, just become a true believer and it will cost you nothing. But according to Jesus, following him will cost us everything. Being a true apostolic believer is simply a complete surrender to the Lord, to the higher purpose of serving God's goodness and glory. There are several remembrances about Brother Branding, and I've put maybe just a few there. He would enter the pulpit, open the service, and he would say things like, "Children, have you prayed today? Have you been on your knees today?" When he came in and would find the congregation talking, he would say, "Visiting hours are over." I've heard him say that. "Visiting hours are over." And to absentees, he would say, "And where do you attend church now?" I remember seeing this many times, and in particular on the last Sunday night service that he was alive, walking back and forth across the platform, and he had the habit of running his hands across his head, and he had thinning hair. He would run his hands back through his head, and his favorite praise phrase was, "Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God." And as I pictured in my mind, I can still sense and feel the touch and the presence of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord. There are so many other memories. On Sunday nights, he and Brother Black would go down to receive the offering ahead of the ushers. He called it, he was collecting the folding money. And so they would go down the aisles, and giving was up a little bit during that time. Pastor was receiving the offering. Several great memories. Phil just told me before service, he was just very, very young at that time. Couldn't have been much more than 6, 7, 8 years old, but he would maybe take out the trash for Brother Branding or whatever. Brother Branding give him a silver dollar or flip him another coin just as a little blessing. Sister Black, Sister Aline Black, who passed back some months ago, she loved to tell this story. She was a young girl in the church, brought up in the church. Brother Branding loved her. She loved Brother Branding. And at one point, not all through his ministry, but at one point, he taught against drinking coffee. And he traveled back and forth to Germany some because he had a heart for the German people because of his heritage. And he helped start and plant, this church helped and started, planted works over there. So after one of those trips, Brother and Sister Black went to that same mission field and talking to the missionary. And the missionary was telling him, "We had a great time with Pastor Branding. We sat around, we talked, we drank coffee, da-da-da-da." And Sister Black said, "I stopped that missionary. What did you just say?" "Well, we sitting, visiting, and drinking coffee." The missionary didn't know. She said, "Okay, I just wanted to know." When she got back, she talked with Pastor Branding. She said, "Bishop, we were talking with the missionary, and he said you were talking and visiting, had a great time, you really preach well, but he talked about you drinking coffee. Oh, Aline, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Terry tells the story of being downstairs. His dad was upstairs with Brother Branning, and they had been out on visitation. He's down in one of the classrooms on the lower level at 13 de Gravois, and he's got a transistor radio listening to the Cardinal ball game. Brother Branning walks by and hears the game and gets on, and, son, you know we don't listen to the ball game, and especially in the house of God. So he goes on down, and he comes back by, pokes his head in the door. What's the score, Terry? What a great man. He had some favorite songs. One of those, All That Thrills My Soul Is Jesus. He loved that song. And I remember this song being sung on his last Sunday night. When the battle's over, and his was just about over, less than 24 hours from that time he passed from this life. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. There's a great heritage and a great future and a great eternity set up for him and for us. He served our organization. He served previous organizations before the merger. He was general secretary of the Pentecostal Church Incorporated. He was very instrumental. He may have been the very main voice for what is now the United Pentecostal Church. I heard Brother O.R. Foss tell about driving his father, Brother Oliver F. Foss, around at that general conference. He said both parties were talking about this merger, so they decided that they wanted to get together, but they didn't want folks to know they were talking about it. So he drove his father's car. They went by 13 de Gravois, picked up Brother Branding, and they drove around the city, and they were talking about, and Orland Ray Foss was in the car, and he heard them discussing about the dynamics of putting together this merger. And of course, Brother Branning was instrumental in that. He served as our Missouri District Superintendent from 1948 to 1969 for 21 years. He was on the Foreign Missions Board, Christian Education Board, Tupelo Children's Mansion Board. He was chairman and founder of Gateway College of Evangelism, which is now Urshan College. This church has produced leaders, and the church has generously shared that leadership. And those leaders were willing to share their leadership with the United Pentecostal Church. Brother Branding sowed that into this church. And I believe different churches have different giftings the same way that individuals have different giftings. And one of the giftings of APC is the development of ministry, the development of leaders. He encouraged involvement beyond APC with the district, with national, international United Pentecostal Church. He had a vision for the future and new concepts. There's a slide of Brother Branding and Brother Clyde Holt, this is Sister Sandy Holt's father, Sister Beth Spall's father, and had Sunday school ministry, and I forget how many little Volkswagen buses there were, 11, 12, 13 of those little buses would take all over the city. And I don't know what they were supposed to seat, but I know that there were a whole lot more kids crammed in there than what they were supposed to see. He had that concept to go, and those buses would go into neighborhoods, pick up children and adults, and bring them to the house of the Lord. And some of you have family members who helped to drive those buses. He purchased the Westphalia campground for the district, wanting us to have camps, youth camps, and camp meeting. And of course, he established Gateway College, which is now Urshan. The point is, he had a vision for the future, a vision beyond here. In fact, he set the church up to help finance. There's at least 22 churches that have been in existence that APC had a hand in helping to found and to finance. The scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. That rightly describes Harry Branding. We honor him tonight. He oft-quoted this statement. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And his life, his influence, and his work still last. We owe much to the life and memory of Pastor Harry Branding. He loved this truth. He stood fast and firm. And I would just say we must continue to hold fast, and we intend to this apostolic doctrine, following his example of sacrifice and commitment. Someone has said there's at least three ways to express our appreciation for our heritage. One is to state it, to write it, to teach the history and appreciation of that history. The second way is to hold fast to what we have been given, our spiritual heritage. And Naboth is a biblical example of that. As we appreciate our heritage, we validate that appreciation by continuing to hold fast to what we have been given. And the third is to remember and value our heritage with thankfulness and humility for what the Lord has done for us. And Moses said it in that earlier verse in Deuteronomy 6. He said, you're going to live in cities you didn't build. You're going to live in houses you did not build. You're going to eat from gardens and plants and vineyards that you did not plant yourselves, and drink from wells. Don't forget the Lord, and don't forget his goodness. Would you stand with me right now? And I want us to really give a thanksgiving for the life of Harry Branding, for the values, more for the values and the principles that he stood for and that we can continue to hold. Let's thank the Lord together. Now, Lord, I thank you. And as we thank you for this man and his commitment and his life, as we thank you, we also want to recommit ourselves to the values and the principles of Scripture that he held and that he lived. Not only do we want to align our lives with his, but more importantly, we're aligning our lives with your word and your will and your principles. Thank you, Lord, for allowing men and women like this into our lives and to be our influencers. And I pray in turn you would help us to disciple others so that they would follow your will and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Once again, guests, we're very glad that you are with us tonight. Stop by the Connect Center.